Praise the Lord, he has a good word for us in the heart of our pastor, and let's believe God that it comes out exactly as we need to hear it, and he wants it to be said. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
In 2000, shortly before I got married, it was in August, I decided with a few of my friends that we were going to go on an adventure and have some fun, so we went up. We were living in Colorado. And so we drove up to Wyoming to Cheyenne, and there's something there called Cheyenne Frontier Days. And it's a whole week of rodeo and carrying on, right? And so we go to this thing, and we're there the first day, and we realize they're having concerts every night in the big arena. And so tonight they're having Styx. Some of you probably know who that is. It's an old classic rock band. And we're like, let's go listen to Styx. So we go down there to the ticket office, and all the tickets are sold out. And we couldn't get in. And so the lady at the ticket office says, well, why don't you just go down to the arena, and maybe they'll let you in. Maybe there's somewhere you can stand in the back and still get to see the concert. And so three of us, we go down there, and we're standing there at the entrance, and they ask for tickets, and they said, well, we don't have any. They just sent us down here to see if you'd let us in. And she's like, the guy's like, okay, well, just wait right here. I'll be back in a little bit. And he leaves. And so one of the guys with us goes, well, he left so that we can just walk in and be in there. That's his way of letting us in. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. He said he was going to find us a spot. And the other guy's like, no, let's go now. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to wait. And my friend, he takes off and he just goes in, disappears into the crowd, you know. And I'm standing there waiting. The other guy's standing there waiting. And pretty soon here the attendant shows up and he says, I found a spot. I think you'll like it. So they take us down all the way to, now this is, you know, a huge arena, right? And they take us down all the way to the front. You could not buy tickets where we were sitting, because they had the front two rows reserved for all the rodeo queens from every state. And they had empty seats there. So they put me and my friend right there in the second row of this wildly loud concert. It was the loudest place I've ever been in my life. If you think our worship is loud, you haven't heard nothing. Yeah, that's right. Come sail away. So I say all of that to say we have some spots right down front reserved for a whole bunch of you in the back. So those of you that are able, come and let's fill up these rows and stand a little bit closer to me. I did take a shower. I don't stink, I promise. We have opportunity for miracles in our midst. Did you know that?
Yes.
We have a God who nothing is impossible for. He can do everything. And when we lift things up to Him in prayer, we should absolutely anticipate and expect that He's going to hear us and move according to His will. In this week, probably some of you have known this or know about it, but Alan Zimmerman, he has been having some health struggles for maybe a year, year and a half. Is that right, Lee? Would you say about that long? And just different things they've been seeing, changes in his speech and personality. And then as of late, it really progressed and amplified, and he's having trouble saying certain words and different things like that. So they went to the doctor and started doing some scans and found that he has a tumor in the front part of his head. And so they took him to Hershey. They're going to operate early next week is the way I understand it. And the good news is that it's not in the brain, and it's on the outside of the membrane, I guess, that encases the brain. And so it sounds like it is going to be, you know, it's something the doctors in the natural have great expectations to be able to remove it. Well, much beyond the natural, right, we have the supernatural. And so we've been just praying and lifting him up, and we are expecting that he is going to be completely free of this, The doctors were saying that that pressure in the front of his brain is what would have started causing the speech problems and the different things, right, that were going on with him. So what we're expecting is that we're going to get him back refreshed and rebuilt and renewed, right? And he is going to be like his old self, but even better, with a testimony of God's goodness. So let's pray for him right now. Father, we lift Alan up to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you have already provided healing for him 2,000 years ago when you said, by his wounds we are healed. And so, Lord, we proclaim healing over Alan's brain and head and body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet and everywhere in between. Lord, we command this tumor to die in the name of Jesus. We tell his brain to be restored to full capacity. Every cell, every place where there's been pressure, Lord, we ask for life in those cells and a renewing of every cell there. I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you that you would direct the doctor's hands, give them wisdom, supernatural knowledge to know how to deal with it, what to do, guide their hand with steadiness as they do the surgery. And I thank you, Lord, that Alan will come out and he will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Vera and I were talking, and we were both just rejoicing and praising the Lord that we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who spoke the earth into existence, on our side. That we're not left alone, that we don't have to face these things without hope, but we can have full confidence that he will watch over his word to accomplish it, and it will come back fully accomplished. Also, I want to pray for two more people before we move on, and maybe more. I got a text message this evening from Benji Crothy. Some of you know who that is, and he requested that we pray for his aunt. Her name is Mary Ann, and she had several strokes today. And so he said she's Catholic, but she loves the Lord Jesus, and he's just wanting to see a miracle in her body. So let's lift her up in prayer right now. Lord, I lift up Mary Ann to you, and I thank you that you know exactly what her body needs, even better than the doctors do. And I ask you, Lord, to touch her body right now, wherever she is, and cause a restoration to come to her body, in her head, in her brain, every part, whatever has been affected by this stroke. We call life and health upon you and peace upon you in Jesus' name. Lord, bring Benji into the situation that he would be able to minister according to your word with boldness in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Also, we have a young man. Well, I guess he's young. If he's my age or younger, he's young, okay? His name is Taylor Stancliffe, and he's in the National Guard. And Heather is an acquaintance of his, so if you want to know more details about it, you can ask. Is Heather? Okay, she's in the back. So you can ask her about it. But he's with the National Guard. He got shipped out today down to the border, where we have all the illegal immigrants crossing illegally. And so, you know, they're being told they're going down to help enforce security at the border, but there are concerns that they're actually going down to just process papers and help people across. So he is of the mind that, you know, he has sworn to uphold our Constitution and things. And so doing such, as what they're concerned about would be him breaking his agreements, right? And not upholding the Constitution. So he's willing to take a stand, and even if it means getting a dishonorable discharge over the deal, he's not going to be a part of it. He's let his superiors know and others know where he stands on it. They're aware of it, but he's still getting sent. And he's not unfamiliar with taking a stand, because he is one of the very few that received an exemption for not getting the vaccine when that whole thing came out. Of course, they told him that, you know, it was going to limit any promotions that he could get, but that was fine. He went ahead with that and did it that way anyway. So he's not a stranger to taking a stand, you understand? So let's just pray for him that the Lord will give him wisdom and help him, and that righteousness would prevail down there at our border. Lord, I lift up Taylor to you, and I ask you, Father, to give him strength on the inside from the inside out. Cause him to be aware of your presence in a very special way, in a very personal way. And Lord, give him wisdom, give him knowledge and knowing of what to do and how to do it, how he should take the stands, what he should agree to or not agree to. And Lord, even those that are around him, I ask that you would touch their hearts and cause them to stand with him, and that they would stand for righteousness and justice and truth, and that our Constitution would stand and be upheld in every way. And Lord, all the people that are coming up that want to come into the country illegally, I ask you to touch them, meet their needs, cause them to see there's a better way, that there's a process by which they can come to this great nation. And Lord, I ask too that those that are coming, that in this whole debacle down there, that Jesus would be lifted up and glorified, that there'd be an outbreak of revival amongst those that are trying to come across, and in our soldiers, in our National Guard, in our Border Patrol, and in all of those places, Lord, that righteousness would rise to the surface in Jesus' name, and amen. I'm very, very grateful that my ancestors were able to come. You know, I had ancestors that came in the early 1700s, and some a little later, some from Switzerland, some from Germany, and I'm a benefactor of their decision, their choice, their sacrifices back then. And so I never disparage anyone that wants to come to our nation, wants to come to this country, but there's right ways to do it and ways that are not harmful to everyone around. And I know that it's sometimes a lot of unnecessary red tape, and the process needs help from top to bottom. There's no doubt about it that things need to be changed and brought change to. But I am grateful for this nation, even when with all the problems that we have around us, that we can see in our nation, we were founded on godly principles, and you and I, the salt of the earth, we're here for such a time as this, right? To preserve our nation and our heritage. Hallelujah. Well, from sticks to our Constitution, we've covered quite some ground today, John. Open up your Bible with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We're going to continue in what we started last week, was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. And last week we set out to go through chapters 12, 13, and 14. We only made it through 13 and maybe the first verse of 14 before we closed. And so you might think, well, I'll continue on into 14 and go to the end of the chapter, but we will get there, I'm sure, just not today. We're going to come back to chapter 12, and we're going to continue. Last week, we kind of gave a bird's eye view, if you will, a general overview of the gifts of the Spirit, of some of the workings of some of them, just a snapshot. Well, we're going to come back now, and at some point, I suppose we'll go in detail in each gift as well, but we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to continue this general overview and just kind of go through here and comb through it verse by verse and cover some more things that I didn't cover last week. So in verse 1, actually I'll give a little bit of a review. So last week we started with this, and I'll just start the same way. So the church in the city of Corinth, they were a wild bunch, right? They had all kinds of problems going on. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was sin that they were allowing in the church, and they were even proud of putting up with it. They had a lot of issues. They didn't have their ducks in a row, so to speak, right? And if you look in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says that they come behind in no gifts to anyone. Like they had the gifts of the Spirit in full manifestation and in operation and working in their church, even in spite of some of the issues that were going on. And so I encouraged us as a church to not unhook ourselves from these things working in us, even in spite of all your problems and issues that you've been dealing with. Even when you blow it, you know, if the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, could work in that group with what they had going on, surely He can work in our group with what we have going on. And that is not to minimize holy living or anything like that. We should live holy. We should forsake all sins that so easily beset us, is how Scripture says it, and put our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, right? So I don't minimize those things. I'm just saying, do not forsake these things because you don't think you are in line enough, right? The blood of Jesus is what makes you in line, right? That's what qualifies you. And then by faith, we will enter into and receive some of these things. All right, now in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And the first thing that we notice here, actually I'm not done with review because I was going to talk about this as well. The first thing we see is that all the gifts of the Spirit mentioned are spiritual things. They are spiritual in nature. Now they have natural substance to them, but they are spiritually derived. All right, they come from the spirit realm. And when you read all of chapter 12 and you get to chapter 13, at the end of chapter 12, let's just skip there for right now. He talks about, in verse 31, he says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. And some have taught that the love chapter, chapter 13, is the better way. But that, I don't believe, is what he's trying to tell them. See, chapter 12, 13, and 14, it's all a flow. When he wrote this letter, he's carrying one thought, right, and he's keeping that thought in mind when he makes his next point. So through chapter 12, we see that he starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and then he begins to talk about the body life and how each individual member is part of the body. He hasn't changed subjects. This has to do with what he was talking about earlier. And then he reaches down here to talking about love. He hasn't disconnected and said, okay, now here's a better way rather than the gifts of the Spirit. He's saying there's a better way to receive and walk in the gifts than just earnestly desiring them. And that better way is the way of love. That's the entrance into these gifts. Because see, all of these things we do, or any gift that is in operation in the body ought to be because we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, and God wants to minister to somebody. He wants to touch them. He wants to impact them. And so that's what brings us into it. So he goes into the love chapter, and then in chapter 14, he starts verse 1. And this is where we ended. He says, pursue love and, that's a conjunction, so it's not one or the other. It's not pursue love or earnestly desire the gifts. It's one and. Right? Pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So our question last week is, what are we desiring? Are we earnestly desiring? Do we want it? Have we been imagining ourselves doing these things? You know, I encouraged you last week to imagine. Use the power of imagination. And this is not some New Age hokey thing. This is the Bible calls it meditate on the Word. Imagine the Word, right? Imagine yourself laying hands on the sick and they recover, just like Jesus said. Imagine yourself having a knowing about something and acting upon it like a word of knowledge. Imagine yourself raising the dead. That's a wild imagination, isn't it? But imagine those things. Dream about those things. It'll cause you to begin, like we said at the end of the service, chocolate chip cookies, right? That if you begin to imagine and talk about a chocolate chip cookie and you think about it long enough, it stirs desire in you for chocolate chip cookies. Well, the same way with the things of the Spirit. When we imagine them and desire them and think on them and meditate on them, before long, we have this growing, building desire on the inside, which is a very godly thing. So starting back in verse 1, now concerning spiritual matters, or spiritual things really would be a direct translation. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. Listen, he doesn't want you to not know about these things, about these spiritual matters. He doesn't want you to be ignorant of them. He doesn't want you to be in the dark about how spiritual gifts work. It is right and normal that you would hear teachings on this subject regularly to know how they work and how to expect them to work in and through us and how we should walk with them. So he says, I don't want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be ignorant, as I believe how the King James says it. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he is speaking of inspired utterance, inspired by the Spirit of God speaking. See, there's this rumor. When we first became Spirit-filled and stepped into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people would come to us and tell us this story. That, yeah, they heard of someone that was praying in tongues. You know, their aunt, it was their aunt's cousin had a neighbor that knew of this case where someone from Egypt was in this church service, right? And a tongue was given in the Egyptian language, and the guy that knew the Egyptian language said they blasphemed the Lord because he could understand it. That's a lie, okay? It's just a lie. Not one single solitary time. This lie has been told since the time of the church in Corinth. That's why Paul brings correction to it and says, no one speaking by the Spirit of the Lord can say Jesus is cursed. Impossibility. And it's why he says you cannot truly proclaim Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is only by Him. You know, Word says that the faith of God has been shed abroad in our heart. This is the love of God. But in Romans, it says that we've all been given the measure of faith. The faith that all of us universally have been given is the faith to believe in Jesus as Messiah. Now, we can say no to that, but everyone's been given that, right? And so once we receive and act upon that faith, that's the Spirit of God on the inside of us that causes us to be reborn when we say Jesus is Lord. So we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. But here, when people get afraid of, and they say, well, put up Luke 11:13 on the screen, if you would, please. When people say, well, I'm concerned that I might get the wrong spirit. You know, when we pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, I heard those stories about people blaspheming the Holy Ghost or blaspheming Jesus in tongues, and because I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe it's true. Well, not if you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and if you're speaking by the Spirit, you would never say something like that. Jesus said this. He said in Luke 11:13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, everyone say, give? Give the Holy Spirit to those who do what?
Ask
Him. He doesn't give a devil when you ask for the Holy Spirit. Right? He doesn't give a snake when you ask for a fish, because that's the analogy he used in the verse right before this. He said, you know, a father doesn't do that. He gives good things. And a father is, you know, a corrupted person. But God is not corrupted. And so when we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, we're going to get the Holy Spirit. So you can just put those fears right to rest. Verse 4, back here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are different gifts. Everyone say different. So there's different gifts, but the same Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, He's the one who gives the gifts of the Spirit, right? That's why they're called the gifts of the Spirit. He is the one who gives those things. Look at verse 5. It says, there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. Is he just being redundant and repeating himself here and saying, you know, kind of saying the same thing but a different way, you know, saying half a dozen instead of saying the word six, you know, just kind of repeating? No, that's not what he's doing here. He's talking about very different things. He says the gifts of the Spirit, he names, and later he'll go through and he'll name the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, this is just really a partial list. There's 9 of them here in this chapter, but over in Romans 12, you'll see others added to the list. That this is not a complete, comprehensive list of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 5, he now says there are different ministries. This is the word, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right in the Greek, but it's where we get our word deacon from. It's where we get our word deacon from. And deacon is someone who serves in ministry. It means waiting on tables. It's serving, right? Serving in ministry. So what is this? He's talking about the Spirit is the one who does the gifts, but here in verse 5, the Lord Jesus is the one who does the ministries. Now, what are different ministries? Well, over in Ephesians 4, put up Ephesians 4, verse 11 on the screen. In Ephesians 4, 11, it talks about the fivefold ministry, what we commonly refer to as the pulpit gifts, right? We have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And those are here. He actually back up to verse 10. Let's see if that says, okay, let's go further. Let's go to 9. Let's go further. Maybe we should go to the beginning of Ephesians. Okay, so right here, this is speaking of Jesus and at his death and resurrection. It says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. He personally, this is Jesus, personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are all ministry gifts, and their purpose is, go ahead to verse 12. The purpose of these 5 ministry gifts is for the training of the saints. Someone say, that's me. What makes you a saint, somebody? The blood of Jesus, that's right. He became sin. So that we might become the righteousness of God. He took our sin and traded with us his righteousness. So it's by the blood of Jesus that we are called saints, not by our own works. So the fivefold is, or what we would say, those pulpit gifts, they are to train or equip the saints, you, to do the work of the ministry. So we see that these ministries are given by the Lord Jesus. But that's different than the gifts of the Spirit. What he mentioned the verse before here in chapter 12. Put up Romans 13, verse 1. See, so many times we think of these ministry gifts as only being the pulpit gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But there's more ministries that the Lord gave than just those. In Romans 13 here, he says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do good, and you will have its approval. Now, let's go back to verse 3 first. So he says that they are ordained by God. So those positions are ordained by God. So they're God's idea. Government is God's idea. Now, not all people in positions of government are God's agents, though, you understand. And when they give ungodly instructions, we are required to not obey those things and not follow. He's talking here about submitting, but submitting to what? In verse 3, he tells you, he outlines what good government looks like. They're a terror to bad conduct, but they are a blessing to those who do good. That's what good government looks like. And if it's not fitting into this model, then you ought to resist it. Okay? I give you just, a recent example. When they tell you you can't meet in church anymore, right? What do? Do you not meet? No, you go right ahead and you meet. And you go right ahead and obey God rather than men because you're submitting to a higher authority now. And you are not required to submit to ungodly government like that. Furthermore, in our nation, we have what we call a constitution. That's the highest law, not spiritual law, natural law. That's the highest natural law in our nation. So if it doesn't come in line with that, then whoever's making the rule is, they're the lawbreaker. And if you go with them, you're now the lawbreaker. Didn't expect to get into all of that. But look here at Romans 13 now at verse 4. This is the part I wanted you to... We're talking about ministries. Jesus is the one who gives gifts to minister with. In verse 4, it says, "For government is God's servant for your good." That's the purpose of government. "But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reasons." You know that swords are not used for spankings, right? Nope. They're used for off with his head, right? That's what they're like, life and death punishment. "For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong." For government is God's servant for your good. This word servant, and then later on in the verse where it says God's servant again, an avenger, this word servant is the same exact word that we have here in 1 Corinthians 12 when he says different ministries. It's the exact same word, deaconess, or D-O, I don't know. Is Jacob in here? Okay, he knows Greek, he could pronounce. Oh, there he is. How do you say that word?
Diakonion, which is plural.
Yeah, that's how I would have said it too. But that's the same word. So they are also ministers of God. Now, that is there such a thing as bad pastors? I mean, pastors that go off the rails bad, right? Right. Well, there's also such a thing as bad government people that go off the rails bad, right? No different. Just like there's fathers are ordained in the home, but they also can be completely bad fathers. So Romans 13 is not an endorsement of all government, right? It's a specific style of government. All right, but that wasn't the point. That was just a side note. But here, back in 1 Corinthians 12, we're looking at there are different ministries, right? But the same Lord. Verse 6, there are different activities, or the word is workings. There are operations, but the same God works all of them in each person. Well, what does that look like? Well, I'll give you an example. Two different pastors. Are they both pastors? Yes. Are they exactly the same? No, not at all. They can be very different, right? So you have the same gifting, but a completely different operation from one to the other. Sure, some of the functions may be still similar to each other, generally speaking, but it's kind of like saying math, right? Math in general, we know what we're talking about. But we can now get specific within the group of math, within the umbrella of math, and we can say addition or subtraction. Those are two very different things, but they're both math. Or we can say division or multiplication, right? All these different things that are all still part of the greater umbrella of math. Well, it's the same way with all of the gifts of the Spirit. Each one of these things can show up differently in different people. When we look, we're not going to look at the whole list, but down lower, you'll see that there's, for example, there is here gifts of healings is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I know of some people that have had great success, or the Lord has used them. It's not that they're special, right? The Lord has used them to often bring health in a certain way to people, like asthma, for example. You know, Apostle Dale, he has seen a lot of people, the Lord heal a lot of people from asthma when he prays for them for asthma, or when they have asthma, to be delivered from asthma, right? He has had a great success track record of that, of the Lord touching people in that way and just delivering them from that affliction. You know, in my own life, we've seen probably the healings I've seen the most when we pray for people is pregnancies. People come and say, you know, hey, we haven't been able to get pregnant. And so we pray for them. And man, just again, there's only one couple to date in our 10 years of ministry. Is it 10 years? It's more than that, isn't it? 2009, however long ago that is. Math. See, there's the math thing. It's a little longer than 10 years, I guess. 14, yeah. There's only one couple that I know of that still believe in God for a child that we prayed for. I mean, a handful of you are sitting in this room right here. Those of you that we prayed for and you got pregnant after we prayed for you, raise your hands. So we have one in the back here, another one. And we have two more that would be here. They're not here tonight. So is that because I'm special? The correct answer is no. 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 Oh, thank you. I am special. Yeah. I'm glad you think so. No, the point is that, but you know what? I've prayed for people and they've got healed for cancer, but I've also prayed for people that had cancer and we buried them. You know, I've prayed for people. I have never seen, you know, under my hand, under when I prayed for them, I have never seen a paralyzed person get up and walk. I've seen paralyzed people get up and walk, but not because I prayed for them. Right? So the Lord has never used me in that way, but he has used me in this way over here. He has used me to pray and see bones just knit together just like that, that were broken. Ligaments that were torn and ripped just healed in a moment. And so I've seen those kind of things, right? So why am I saying all of that? The point is look, he says different operations, but the same God is working all of them. See, one person, he might see healings more in this vein and another person in this vein. And so that's what he is teaching us here. There are different activities or operations or workings, but the same God works all of them. All of the ministries, the same God works all of the giftings of the Holy Spirit in each person. Say, each person.
Each person.
Look to your neighbor and say, you qualify. Because you're an each. Each person, that's right. Verse 7. A manifestation of the Spirit, or the word manifestation, it means an exhibition or a bestowment. Okay? A bestowment of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Now, this bestowment of the Spirit, he switched now from talking about ministries to just gifts of the Spirit. Do you see that? So he switched over to that. He says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. There it is again. Every person can do this. For why? For the common good. For the common good. Put 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 up on the screen. 1 Peter 4:10, and you can just stay here if you've turned with me in your Bible. Everyone say, for the common good. Or for the good of all. Right? It's not just to be self-beneficial. Now, the Holy Spirit will benefit you. Don't misunderstand me. But it is to serve others. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. It says, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, the word gifts of the Spirit is where we get that. It's charisma. It's the word charisma, and it carries inside of it graces, gifts of grace. So verse 11, he says, if anyone speaks, it should be as the one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong, I guess verse 12 is needed, the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So do you see here, Peter mentions gifts of the Spirit and he names a few of them, but what's the purpose? Did you catch it? The glory of God. It glorifies Jesus. It lifts him up. It exalts him. It should not bring attention to you. Right? Should not bring attention to you. Now, there are times where you can look in the book of Acts and you see where a gift of the Spirit manifests and it drew attention to them. That will happen, but that's not the purpose of it. When Peter walks into the gate, beautiful Peter and John, and there's that lame guy, and he asks for money. He says, I don't have money, but what I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And the guy gets up and goes into the temple, and everyone sees, oh, there's the lame guy from the temple. He's in here walking around, leaping and praising the Lord. And how's this work? And so they get to talking to who did this, and he comes back in and finds Peter and John still there, and people realize, oh, they're the ones. They're the ones. So this whole crowd gathers, but Peter tells them, he says, guys, we didn't do this by our own holiness or any kind of specialness because we're apostles. That wasn't how they did it. They said, this happened because of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You can find that in Acts chapter 3, I believe it is. Is it chapter 3? It's in Acts. Okay. All right, where were we? Verse 7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. For the common good. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This would be a special faith. To another, gifts of healings by the one Spirit. To another, the performing or working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And discerning means to see and to judge correctly, but to judge correctly because you are seeing. And it's talking about seeing into the spirit realm. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Now, interestingly, I'll just make a comment on this last one. Interpretation of tongues. There's a reason that it's not called a translation of tongues. A translation is a word-for-word translation, right? An interpretation, like you guys, we could have Sandy come up and play some music, and then we could say, all right, Pastor, do an interpretive dance of the music that she just played, right? And so you wouldn't want to see that, I assure you. But the point is that it would be my interpretation of what I was hearing, right? Well, that's why tongues and interpretation is called that. Because sometimes you'll hear a long tongue and a short interpretation, or a short tongue and a long interpretation. It's kind of like if you've ever had a download from the Lord, a supernatural download about something, in a moment, in just the flash of a second, He can reveal to you something that takes you 10 minutes to tell. Right? And so it's the same way, because we're dealing with spiritual substance, not just natural. You know, if it's only natural, then you would say, yeah, that tongue took 30 seconds, so we should have a 20 to 40 second translation now, right? But that's not how this is. Also, interestingly enough, is Zach here with us tonight? This word tongue or interpretation is where we get our Greek word, or it's from this Greek word where we get our word hermeneutics from. That's what the word is hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is in Webster's dictionary, it explains it this way, Webster's 1828, it says, the art of finding the meaning of an author's words and phrases and of explaining it to others. The art of finding the meaning of words and phrases and explaining it to others. Interpretation, hermeneutics. It's important to have proper hermeneutics when it comes to biblical doctrines, right? Because we could get off into the weeds and say things wrong. We want to do it God's way, not our way. Look at verse 12 now. He is not changing subjects. Now, in the Bible that I'm reading, it gives a heading that it says, unity yet diversity in the body. He's not changing subjects. He's still talking about these things. Gifts and ministries working and functioning in the body. He says, for just as the body is one and has many parts, all the parts of that body, though many, are one body. So also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. You sitting in the pew right now are not any less a part of Church of the Word, the body of Christ, than I am, the pastor. We just have different functions. We just have different things and requirements of us but we both have a piece. You know, it's very much like the body of Christ is kind of like a puzzle. All of us are individual pieces to the puzzle. And guess what happens? When you look at one piece of the puzzle, the picture doesn't make much sense, does it? But when you put it all together, it can form a beautiful picture. And you see the whole, and that's how the body of Christ is supposed to be together. That all together we bring the full picture and vision of who Jesus is. And I'm not talking about just in this church house. I'm talking about across denominational lines. You know, the Baptists the Pentecostals, the Mennonites, the Amish, the Dunkards, the Brethren, you know, all the Reformed churches, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Word of Faith churches, the Charismatics, all of them are each a piece of the body of Christ. And it's easy to get into pride when it comes to theological issues because we go, well, we have it figured out and they're just really missing it, and we get this idea that we're better than them. But according to what he's telling us here, that's a mistaken idea. You know, if my foot would suddenly decide, you know what? If my eye said to my foot, I'm better than you because I can see, and you're down there trapped in a shoe and you can't see nothing, but I can see. Well, guess what? My foot could say, yeah, but you aren't going anywhere without me. And you can't see anything beyond where I take you. Right? One relies on the other. It's a piece. It's a part of it. What happens when you get a puzzle and you put the whole thing together and there's a piece missing? You're not thinking about the bigger overall picture anymore, are you? You're thinking about the missing piece. And so it's important that we not be distracting from the image of Christ that he wants to build in us here in this local body, but also across the body of Christ by being a missing piece, by drawing attention to ourselves rather than letting it go to the whole picture. Does that mean that all denominations are equally as enlightened? No, but that doesn't make one better than another one as far as value goes. Right, I've found that it seems across most denominations they have strengths. They have strengths and they have weaknesses, and they're strong in one area and maybe they're blind in another area or ignorant of some things in another area. And so what our desire and our heart in this house is to follow the whole counsel of God and not just a piece or a part of it. But I'm quite certain that we don't have all revelation here because we're a piece. We're not the whole picture. But what we are going to do is walk in the light that we do have, right? Walk in the light we have. There was this guy that he had a vision, a dream. I think it was a dream. And he was a Mennonite guy, in fact. I think so. One of those Anabaptist churches. And he dreamed that he had died and he went to heaven. And when he got up to heaven, he talked to whoever was letting him in. We'll just say Peter. And Peter said, okay, what denomination did you come from? And he said, well, I was Mennonite. I think they were actually Charity. I was Charity, and which is an Anabaptist offshoot of the Mennonites. And the angel says, okay, follow me. I'll take you to the Charity section of heaven. And so he takes him down this long hallway. And as they're walking down the hallway, there's just door after door after door. And each door has a different denominational name on it. You know, you go by the Amish door, and then they went by the Baptist door, and then the Pentecostal door, and the Methodist door, and finally they reach the Charity door. And the angel opens it up, and the guy goes in, and here all the doors opened into the same room, into the same heaven. See, it's a picture of the whole. And we should stop making so many dividing lines. And don't back off of truth, stand for truth, but you know what? There's a whole lot more that unites us with people that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit but believe in Jesus than there are with people that don't believe in Jesus. We're still family. We might have to wait till we get to heaven for them to see we're right about some things, right? But eventually they'll see. But they're still our brothers, our sisters. So talking about the workings, the giftings of the Spirit and the ministries that Jesus gave, and he's talking about the different parts in the body. Well, you know, your different parts in your body, they do different things. They have different functions, but they need each other. You know, if your foot was like, you know what, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of always being cramped in a smelly shoe. I'm always getting stepped on. I'm bumping my toes on things. And I always have to, every day. I mean, sometimes, you know, how many steps are you supposed to get in? 10,000 steps? 10,000 times I have to hold this whole thing up. And I'd just like to see something for once. I'd just like to be able to have the gift of discernment. I mean, not the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits. I'll say it that way so that it fits in our text. Because that's not the same thing. Some people think that the gifting of the Spirit, the gift of discernment, it's not that, all right? But it is a discerning of spirits. Seeing, I want to see. I want to see. Okay, fine. All right, foot, I'm going to take you out of the shoe and I'm going to let you see. No matter how long I try, it's still not going to be able to see. And I'm not going to be walking around very far. Right? But what if my eye said, you know, I'm tired of always being the one to have to see everything. Why can't I experience the power gifts? Why can't I have power flow through me like the foot? I mean, it's the foundation to the entire body. I mean, it's full of power and in endurance, lasts forever. I mean, just goes everywhere, uphill, downhill. It's always there, never complains. I mean, the power of God is evident in the foot. I want to be a foot. Well, what happens if you take the eye out and try to put all your body weight on it? Yeah, you want to hear that sound again? Yeah, jelly. Right, because that wouldn't work. And I know it's a silly example, but that's what he's saying here. And you know, when you try to use the wrong body part to do the wrong function, you can't hear with your nose. And you can't eat with your ears. Right? Or your hands. We're tired of doing all the work around here. I'm grateful for the hands in the body of Christ. We're tired of doing all the work around here. We want to hear something. We want to be able to hear or speak. We want to talk. You know, well, it just doesn't work that way. Guess there is sign language. There the illustration fell apart. But it's still not making noise, is it? I mean, even that, you can have one part of the body filling in for the other part of the body, the mouth, that can't speak. But man, there's still great limitations on it, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do to see that one fall apart is have someone turn their back to you. You can no longer talk to them. They have to be looking at you to talk to them, right? And so in the same way in the body of Christ, when we don't fulfill what we're to do, instead of wanting to be a foot or something different, do what we were created to do, and then we'll see the rest of the body's able to function properly and we won't be the missing piece of the puzzle. All right, look at verse 16 here. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, if the whole body of Christ was just prophecy, well, what about all the other gifts? We need all of them. We need all of them. And every person is a part of it. There's nobody here today. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, there's no one here today that can't do and operate in one of these things. I'm convinced that many times we have over-spectacularized the gifts of the Spirit, and we think that we're going to have some big aha moment, and everyone's going to know that was a gift of the Spirit. For example, I'll give you an example. The Lord has used me, I've seen words of knowledge often, but they're not in a way that you might recognize what's happening, right? Many times it operates when I'm standing in front of you and teaching and preaching, and the word of knowledge works, and it works like this. I'll be talking on a subject, and suddenly I just have a knowing. I just have a knowing that someone's thinking this about what I just said. I don't have any clue who it is. I just know this thought is out there. And so I might go further and explain now the flip side of it. I never said, oh, I got a word of knowledge. Someone in the crowd is thinking these. No, none of that. I just go on and explain it. You never even realize what just happened. A word of knowledge, and then brought wisdom to it. So in that way, that's what I mean by so many times I think we've spectacularized it. I think everyone here has experienced a sudden knowing about something. You just knew. You just knew that it was going to. I mean, I've had this happen with sports games, like completely inconsequential things. We're sitting there watching a game, and suddenly I just know what the next thing's that's going to happen. And I've been sitting with my friends, and I've called it out. On the next pitch, he's going to hit a home run. And wham, they look at me like, what's going on? I don't know. I just knew it suddenly. Right? That's a word of knowledge. And so that's where I think a lot of times we are waiting for something that is way spectacular rather than recognizing the knowings that you suddenly get that that's what that is. All right, verse 18. But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. First of all, God wants you arranged in the body and arranged as he wants, not as the body wants. Because if my elbow decides, you know what, I want to be a chin, yeah, it's not as you want, right? Verse 19, and if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body, or all the gifts of the Spirit, and all the ministries, we could say, that all these parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. You know, even though my foot may think that it's less honorable than my face, you know, I spend a whole lot more money on my foot than I do my face. Right? Well, some of you might not because of all the makeup and things like that, but you get the point, right? That there's parts of your body that you buy special clothes for. I mean, you don't do that for your face, right? Because it doesn't need that. And so all the parts, the point is a part that's less visible is also has greater honor. And so don't just look at the pulpit gifts or the things that are seen by a bunch of people as that's what I want to do. Because the short snapshot of time that we're spending on the earth, you know, the things that we do in this life, we're going to reap on those in the next. And what seemed really important in this life, invisible, the invisible is going to be visible in the next. And there's people that we're going to be shocked at the amount of harvest they have in heaven, in the new world that's coming, the amount of harvest that they have because we weren't seeing it here on this planet. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's look here in verse 24, which I'll finish just reading, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the whole the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, when you catch your toe on the corner of a piece of furniture, your whole body comes to attention. Right? Everything is concerned with that right now. When something, you know, when I was playing flag football years ago and I tore my tendons in my knee and my ACL and MCL and all of that, when that happened, man, everything in my body, I involuntarily let out a yell, you know. It hurt. And everything is giving it all its attention right here because it hurts. And, well, in the other side of it, is it's hard to, when you have an injury like that, to point to the exact spot that it hurts. You know, well, I don't know. It's just there in my knee. Well, where? Everywhere, right? Even though it's one ligament that was torn. But it gets, all of the members suffer with it. Or when one is honored, all rejoice with it. You know, when I get up in the morning and I honor myself by pouring myself a cup of coffee. Yeah, that's right. Preach. My feet are just as happy about that as my hands are. And as my stomach is. Right? They all, we the whole body gets in on it. That's the point. Now, everyone say now. You are, say I am, the body of Christ. An individual member of it. And then in verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. So he names some of the ministry gifts. And now he flows right into the gifts of the Spirit because there's one God working all of them in all people. Next, miracles. Then gifts of healings. reliefs, helping, or aid, you could say, governing, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? The obvious answer, implied answer, is no to all of these. Worship team, you can come. And then he says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. And for those of you that weren't with us last week, we talked about the greater gifts are the ones you need in the moment. There are the gifts of the Spirit, we, in order to teach them, we break them into categories, into three different categories. There's three that are called the revelation gifts, three that are called the power gifts, and three that are called the speaking gifts. And then we teach on them that way, but we only do that and break them apart like that to make it simpler to teach and understand. With that being said, there are in each category, even there are gifts that you could say lead to the other gifts. So we might call them greater gifts. Like, for example, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Well, we would say a word of wisdom is better because it speaks about the plan and will of God. Whereas a word of knowledge just talks about certain facts, whether past or present or future. So we can look at this list and say, okay, yeah, there's better gifts than other gifts. But really, as the analogy we used last week, when if you're in a traumatic car accident and you're laying out on the street, you don't need a tongue and interpretation right now. What you need is working a miracle or gifts of healing, right? You need special faith. And so the best gift is the one that's needed in the moment. Let's say it a different way. The best gift is the one that will bring the most glory to Jesus in the moment. Amen. Right? Because they're all to bring glory to Him. So stand with me if you would. Father, we thank You for giving gifts to Your body. Thank You, Lord, for making us an individual part of the body. An individual piece of the puzzle. But Father, You didn't create us to be alone or stand alone or be the whole picture alone, but You made us to need our brothers and sisters beside us to accomplish Your purpose and Your vision, to fully bring the image of Christ to the earth. Lord, help us be the in the right place at the right time where You want us. And Lord, we present ourselves tonight to willingly to You, to be used by You as You see fit, as is pleasing to You in the body, within the various ministry gifts, within the various gifts of the Spirit. Lord, however is pleasing and brings honor and glory to You, we want to walk in all of them. In fact, You told us to desire them, and so we do desire these things. And we ask You, Lord, to work them in our midst to glorify Jesus. That when people come and see and come into contact with us, they realize there is a living Lord. There is a real Jesus, the Messiah. Father, I ask You for wisdom and understanding on these things as we meditate on them this week, as we look to walk in Your will and in Your plan. I ask for Your help for every single person here, every person listening by internet. And we just loose the plan of God upon each person in Jesus' name. And someone say, amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for being good. You are good to all. You are good to us. We glorify Your name. Thank You, Jesus, for giving us life, for taking our sin upon Yourself. In giving us Your righteousness. Thank You for relationship, making it possible that we can come right to the Father and call Him Daddy. Thank You, Lord, for the provision that You've made for us, for our souls to prosper. Thank You that You have made provision for us to walk in divine health and prosperity and divine abundance of all things in every realm. Father, I ask that You would help us. Help us to more accurately reflect You in Your heart to those around us. Starting right in our homes, Lord, that we would be an accurate representation of You to our little children. And Lord, that when people look at us from the outside, that they would see people that have been with Jesus and that they would be drawn towards you. Lord, I'm asking you that you would bring us into situations where people are ready for harvest, where people are ready to make a commitment for you, Lord, to people that are wanting a touch from you. Bring them across our path, Lord. Cause divine appointments to take place, even this week, wherever we are, that Jesus would be lifted up and glorified. Father, I lift every person up here, everyone listening on the internet. And Lord, I thank you that for all the things that you've done in every life, for the healings, the deliverance. Thank you for the removal of sin and the giving of favor. Thank you, Father, that you have provided for us and that you are watching over your word, past, present, and future, to accomplish it. Thank you, Lord, for divine health in our bodies. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every name that is named on the earth must bow. Lord, whether it be disease or attacks of the enemy or whatever it be, Lord, but that the name of Jesus carries your power. Lord, those that have financial needs in this house, Lord, I lift them to you, and I thank you that you promised to meet our needs according to your riches in glory. And I thank you, Lord, we call every bill paid, every debt paid in full in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you meet the needs, the physical needs, the soulish needs, that as you have promised, that your word will fulfill all things. And I bless you for that. I thank you for that. Lord, I commit these your people to you and to your word of grace, that you would enable them in every way to accomplish all that is in your heart to accomplish in this day and age, in this season that we're in. Lord, thank you that you have made us salty, and that the salt is not of our own, but it's from you. That the light is not of our own, but it's from you. And that we commit to being the light and salt you've created us to be. I bless these your people in Jesus' name. Peace be upon you. Go in health, in life, in prosperity. Sleep in peace. Wake up fully rested. Father, thank you for touching Damon's body, causing him to return to health and bringing him back to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given him a place in this body and that you have many, many days, many years ahead of him yet. We thank you, Lord, that Damon will declare the works of the Lord, that he lives and not dies, that his kidneys and everything come into full health and strength in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the new jobs in this house, for the raises, Lord. I thank you for the houses and the homes that you have given. Father, thank you and bless those that have opened up their tables and their living rooms to bring people in and teach them the gospel and show them the way. Lord, I thank you for these things. Thank you too for the safety that you have given to us. I lift up Gene and Josh and Shane and Silas to you, Lord. Thank you for safety on them as they travel to Phoenix. Lord, meet all of their needs. Cause their time this week to be together as they work. Cause it just to be a God-filled time, Lord. Just they're having church all day, every day. I thank you for this. Lord, thank you for that job being abundantly prosperous for them. Lord, I thank you that you have given us a place to meet. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us Faith Church to meet in their building, that you've blessed us with this place that we can worship you freely and ably. And Lord, I thank you too that you would provide places, places for the other churches in this community that are needing a place to meet at. You know the congregations, you know the people, the pastors, the groups, those that are meeting in homes. Lord, we call them into places that would be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And I thank you for it. I thank you too, Lord, for a building that is vast and huge, that we would be able to come into ownership of it. Lord, it's called the Emerald Building. And I thank you, Father, that you would bring us into that place in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up the Mirabellas to you, those that are connected with them, those that are in Africa, in Iraq and in Africa, both Mirabellas, both families. Lord, bless them, cause them to prosper, cause them to be fully equipped, bring people into partnership with them, give them by gifts of the Spirit, able to minister your grace to those where they are at and the people they come in contact with. Thank you for your protection upon them and enabling them in every way. Lord, I lift up the Grady Pickett ministry to you. Enable them to carry your work on there in Erbil and the surrounding communities. Bless them. Father, we bless them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up the coming Armada Landmark. Lord, you know the word and the ministers, the speakers. Father, prepare in their hearts even now the word and the teachings that you want to come and to come out. And Father, the things that you want to accomplish during that week here in this house, I ask you, Lord, to work it even now, to incubate it and bring it to pass. Bring the people in that are connected to our ministries and cause the things that would stand in the way for them to come. We just call every blockade removed in Jesus' name. And we loose the people of God to come into the house of God, to be equipped by God to do the work of God in all ways. Hallelujah. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Look at your neighbor and say amen. Amen. We love you. Bless each other as you go. Love on each other. And I will see you in 2 weeks.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone. It is so great to see everybody here tonight. How y'all doing? Fabulous. That was good. So we all know that God's word is the absolute truth on the earth today, right? We know it's a plumb line, a standard. You can put everything against it, and it is just absolutely the truth on the earth today. It's spiritual food. It'll revive you. It will transform your Christian walk. It's just the best thing in the whole world. And Psalms 119. No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a great chapter. But it's full of fabulous gems about the Word of God, and I really would just like to share a few of them with you tonight, just to encourage you in our worship time together tonight. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a good one. 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Just beautiful gems. 89, yeah, forever, O Lord. Your word is settled in heaven. A lot of us have that memorized. Verse 97, oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. 130, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. 133, direct my steps by your word. 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law or your word is truth. 160, the entirety of your word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation and every word in between, it's the absolute truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. 162, I rejoice at your word. Anybody rejoicing at the word of God tonight? Hallelujah. As one who finds great treasure, great peace have those who love your word. Well, I love that one. Well, did I give you enough gems? Psalms 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's packed with these one-liners that just make you pause and take it in, and you think, wow, Lord, your word is so rich, it's so beautiful, and you bound it up in a book for each and every one of us, that we would not sin against your word. You've hidden it in our hearts, and it's become us. And we praise the Lord for belonging to a church that, what's the adjective? We stand on the word of God. We teach the word of God. We defend the word of God. We speak it from Genesis to Revelation. The word of God, it's everything. Amen. And the truth of it. So let's stand together as family tonight. And let's just praise and thank the Lord. Let's thank Jesus so much, the living word, who died and gave us everything. The bound up book, the word of God. And let's worship as family tonight.
Let's just lift our hands. We're so thankful, God. You filled our hearts with joy.
And there's joy because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who brought the joy to the earth. Amen. Father, we just are so grateful for Jesus tonight. We just are so grateful for what he did, the obedience and coming. Can you just think about this for a minute? Jesus, God himself, lived in the womb of a woman for 9 months. He did that for you and I. We talk about the blood. We talk about the cross. We talked about God limiting himself in a body, but there he was for 9 months in a womb of a mom. Think about that. Think about what Jesus, the price that he paid for you and I to have a relationship with his Father, to have your sins completely forgiven, past, present, and future. That the blood was that he shed for you was enough for you to live free in Jesus. It's incredible. You know, and I think we have to stop and think about this for a few minutes, exactly what Jesus did do for us. And that produces such joy in our life. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We're in the kingdom of God. We've been purchased by the blood. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light. We're now the children of the Most High God, an intimate relationship with Father God himself. That should produce an extravagant joy in all of us, all the time, all the time. A smile on your face, a trademark of who you are in Christ Jesus. Think about Jesus. That's all you got to do. It'll produce joy in your heart and a thankfulness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, turn to your neighbor and say, I got the joy of the Lord because I got Jesus. I got Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo!
I'm excited. Well, hallelujah. Welcome to Church of the Word International. We're glad you're with us tonight. I trust you're glad to be here tonight. Amen? It's good. God is good. Well, if you're here for the very first time, we'd like to welcome you here. You want to just wave at us so we know who you are right here in the back. Welcome. Let's give him a clap. We're glad you're with us tonight. We trust you'll be blessed. We're going to return the tithe to the Lord tonight, so if you need an envelope for your cash giving, you can just raise your hand, and the ushers will bring one to you. If you're giving by check, you can make it out to CWI. And if you're giving by credit card, we appreciate when all of the blanks are filled out. Karen, I liked how you brought out the gift that Jesus is to us and how what he left in order to come to us. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it says that he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty, we might be made rich. Think about that. God wants me rich. Can you say that? Say, God wants me rich. Now, I want to know something. Actually, no, I don't. I want you to know something. Did that make you squirm? And don't answer it. No, raise your hands here. Just, did that make you squirm? God wants me rich. Just checking up on ourselves because, you know, if there's any little bit of something that needs, you know, flushed out, we want to examine and be aware of that. No, God does want you rich. But what is richness? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, if he didn't want us rich, why would he say things like, Jesus, though he was rich, left all of that and became poor so that we might be rich? Why would he tell us in 2 Corinthians 9 how to enlarge our harvest if he didn't want us to have a larger harvest? Why would he give us these scriptures of how to increase and flourish and prosper if that wasn't part of who he is? You know, in Psalm 65, verse 11, it says that his ways produce plenty. I liked how the New King James says, it says, your paths drip with abundance. Doesn't that give a picture? His paths, his ways drip with just barely enough to not die. Just, you know, sort of medium, not too nice, not too, it says drip with abundance. That's part of who our God is. We need to understand that. So, he tells us how to enlarge our harvest. So ask me, how do I enlarge my harvest? By being a bigger sower, by being a bigger giver. That's what it says here in verse 6 about sowing sparingly and reap sparingly and sowing generously and reap generously. It says in verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. This is talking about free will offerings. We have specific scriptures on returning the tenth, the tithe. So this is about a free will offering, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because God loves that free will, that free heart, that, you know, that heart that's in faith, believing that God's going to keep his word, that God's going to do what he said he would do. And it says here in verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times. Does that leave any times left out? Times where he wants to teach you something and he wants you to, you know, go through this poverty, lack, you know, scraping by thing. He might want that sometimes. Did it say that? No, he says, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, okay, and you will abound in every good work. So that's you having everything covered, and that now you're able to abound in blessing others, abound in other good opportunities to work in the kingdom, to advance the kingdom. That's what that is. That's rich. Richness is ability. Richness is not being limited by anything. And you know, when you think about poverty, there are levels of poverty. I mean, if you can be so poor that you actually die because you just don't have enough food. But then there's other levels of that. There's poverty to where, you know, you're not going to die, but man, the pressure. Oh, like a chokehold around your throat. And everybody's on your case for money, you know, and you might be trying to throw you out of your house. But, you know, you've got enough to eat somehow, some way. You know, you're not dead yet. And then there's other levels where, you know, you're living maybe a little bit more comfortable, but, you know, we're not buying the steak, you know, and we ration our chicken. And, you know, we don't get ice cream more than, you know, on someone's birthday. That's another level. Are you following me? Well, God's not in that. His ways drip with plenty, with abundance. I think I could just, I better just stop or I'm going to go. His ways, this is our God. He's not a lack God. He is an abundant God. He wants you rich so that you will abound to every good work, so you're enriched, so you can be a blessing to others. Come on now, you're not a lake. You're not, he says he gives seed to the sower, not the hoarder. Not the one that's, he says, the one that has my heart, the one that will, that I can move through and advance my kingdom and get funds to my people, that's the one I'm going to make sure has seed. That's the one. So don't think this is just for selfish living. This is for, but this is who our God is. He wants you not limited, not lacking any good thing. And you know, his ways. Is offerings of the Lord his ways? Would that be one of his ways? What about tithing? Has he said anything about tithing being a demonstration of honor to him in his word? These are his ways. They will produce plenty for you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Take a hold of your offering or your tithe. Father, we're so grateful to you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your promises and your word. We thank you that you're not a God of lack, but that you're a God of abundance, and that we can count on you to keep your word, to bring us through every hardship. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've brought us out of lack, the way you brought us out of poverty. And Lord, we just purpose in our heart that as you increase us, that we will use these funds, use these good things for your service, for your kingdom, and for your people. And so, we present the tithe to you as part of our worship, and we just want to honor you, Lord. We bless you and give you all the glory for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And the ushers can pass the baskets, and the people will give to the Lord, not to man. Get your eyes off the church. It's not given to the church, it's given to the Lord. Well, if you have a bulletin, you can pull it out and look at it with me. We got youth and young adults impact tomorrow evening here at the church, 6 p.m. The youth have a beach day coming up. Woohoo! That looks fun. Going to be, I think the location is still to be determined, but that is coming up, and it'll be fun no matter where they go. But that is coming up Sunday, May 28th.
So next week, we are going to, as Jen mentioned already, be in Texas picking up Adrian. So Apostle Dale is going to bring the word. So be praying for him and that the Lord will bring out the word as he wants it brought out through him. And we are excited about finding our new son, I think. I think there's been a lot of changes in him since he's been gone. So we're excited about going down and picking him up, and we'll get to stop in and see my mom and Jen's sister on the way home and get a little road trip in. So, yeah, we'll have a good time.